loving how, as we're doing these interviews, we're hearing about the cost of following Jesus. There's a lot of like freedom that comes when you lay aside the world's way of doing things and you like crack yourself open to be a messenger, right? There's a lot of healing and beautiful things and impact and da 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 that happens. But every time we get to these backstage interviews,
I love that.
There's a cost.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to talk about it.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, y'all, this is part two of last week's introduction to an incredible mastermind training that I did for a virtual event. I know you're going to love it. So I really, really, really encourage you to go back and listen to that episode because it was wildly profound. And just you get to see a different side of me because I'm training. And, you know, when I'm coming here, I'm talking and I'm teaching and things like that. But when I'm actually training live with a community, it's very different than what you might hear with, especially if I'm doing an interview episode here. So go back, listen to part one. And in the part one intro, I share with you what happens in part two, which is this part right here. And I'll just review it again because you might just be jumping in at this particular episode. I talk about financial risk taking. I talk about the loopholes in being an entrepreneur. I talk about a one of a kind insurance tip that I don't charge anybody for, but I can save you up to 100K. We've done it in our own family, but I don't know how other people will feel about it. Really, it's for the risk taker. So I ask you to tread lightly and don't reference me if something goes awry. But honestly, it's been amazing and such a gift, but it was a Holy Spirit thing that me and my husband feel like we get to operate in full faith doing day to day. So if insurance or company plans or anything like that, health insurance is something that you've walked through and had a conversation with, we know that entrepreneurs kind of get the latter end of that bargain. And so this is what we did. Additionally, I talk about the lies of limiting beliefs. So I know everyone's talking about limiting beliefs, but are they talking about the depth of limiting beliefs, which I believe are ultimately rooted in lies? I might step on your toes. It's not an easy thing to receive, but I just shared it again at the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, and it went over so much better than the first time I ever shared it from stage, where I was really nervous and everyone was looking at me like I had 12 eyeballs because they were offended, but not offended, convicted, and sweetly does the Lord do that. So I highly recommend you tune in and think about it from your own perspective and go deeper, sit with the Lord on it. I really, all the time, am looking at limiting beliefs through this lens now and will always. Additionally, I talk about fast growth tips. We know fast growth isn't always the best growth, but there are some ways that you can activate. And two specificities of killer opportunities. One, a killer wardrobe on a budget, and another is killer content. So this is an emotional roller coaster. I go really high into some fun, lighthearted things, and I go really deep with some more difficult things that might cause you to go quiet for a minute or to cross your arms in that spirit of offense. So no spirit of offense allowed when listening to this. I want it to open your eyes. I want it to open your heart. I want it to open your mind. And so open your ears and Holy Spirit, let my words penetrate with such a sweet, tender space of love, as you always do with me. Thank you guys for listening. And if you are looking for a speaker or a teacher or a trainer inside of your community, I just got finished doing the inside of Proverbs 31 Compel this past month. That was really cool. And so just seeing what God is doing and opening the doors for us to truly operate as the body of Christ and not under a spirit of competition, so that we can lift one another up and share our resources, share our wisdom. And so that's what I get to do here all the time. And I'm so glad that you guys are a recipient of this section. Again, this is part two, so go back and listen to part one. And all the links and stuff are below for moving into the next element of how you get communicated with our company. One of those ways is with our virtual event, which we host freely the fourth Tuesday of every single month, which we totally got wrong this past month. Yeah, we forgot there was 5 weeks, so bear with us, roll with us. This is how it goes. This is real life, and we are real humans, so we make mistakes. But we're so excited. Every fourth Tuesday, it comes out. So it's actually happening this coming Tuesday. Again, disregard. The Tuesday, the 30th. I'm going to drop the link in the show notes here as well. Our virtual training is amazing. It's going to be about the emotional roller coaster and what it really takes to become an author and the different ways and different season in which those emotions kind of take that roller coaster experience and how to be prepared for it before it happens. How to deal with family members in the process if you're writing your testimony, how to deal with your own personal schedules and what that looks like, how to deal with it when you have a spouse or kids and you're managing also the healing components of what happens when you write. So if you're interested, you can definitely jump in to the link below. It's from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, the 30th. And again, we host this the fourth Tuesday of every month. We have a new topic around being a speaker, author, teacher, builder, visionary, founder, all the things that are going to help you to activate and to do so with such effectiveness, because we've blazed that trail before. And so you're learning from people who have done it. And my director of Fit Press, Julianne Kirkland, will be training up on that one as well. So you'll have guest speakers and mainly team members that come in to speak from their lens of expertise. So it's not just about me, and it's surely not just about you. It's about him, and we're pointing to him all the days of our lives. But in the meantime, it's necessary for us to activate and honor him for our gifts and talents that we're given. So love you. Get into the episode. You're probably like, get to it, Tamara. It's going to be good. So I'm excited to hear your feedback. Make sure you leave a review or share on social and tag some people. Talk to you soon.
Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic. But I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise. It's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement.
Okay, welcome to Post It Backstage with Tamara. Oh, you already heard. Probably your notebook is just filled with thoughts because every other thing you're saying is like, oh my word, you have to like grab the table or grab your chair. But it's because we know you're doing what you're talking about. Yeah. As you're speaking, you are communicating really ancient truth in this fresh kind of way. And so I'm just like, there's the example. And what would you credit that to? Like the secret place?
Yes, 1,000%. I would not know what I know without him giving it to me. I have a lot of incredible mentors
and teachers that I tune into as well. And so having my infiltration of sounds, again, other people's words that are positive, are up-giving, life-giving, and true, that truth piece is something you have to research. Just because someone is talking doesn't mean it's true. Just because they say that they're a pastor doesn't mean they're pastoring God's sheep. And so you have to be very conscientious of the truth in which you're receiving, and obviously ultimately taking it back to the real world, the real truth, and the real word.
Man, I feel like that's for some girls watching who, I mean, we've already touched on this, but the way you're saying, they have been positioning themselves, it might be in a certain industry, or it might just be the way they're talking about their offer or the offers that they have. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is what works. Like, my bank account says it's working. And, but there's this like, I don't know if this is actually what I'm supposed to do.
Mm.
That's good. Okay, so that takes us right back into your story, actually. What do you ever, if we can be honest, do you ever feel like you're trying to catch up to where you were financially?
I have never been asked this question before. So when you asked it jumping into the after party, I was like, gosh, that's a great question. I started simmering with it, but I like to be so present and just allow the spirit to flow through. But I would say I've never processed it like that, because similar to how I shared before, that version of myself was so sad. That version of myself was so depressed. She was striving. She was clinging on with her whole life onto things that are not eternal and were causing suicidal ideation, were causing rifts in her marriage and her mothering journey. And honestly, if I had kept at it, which I had a choice to, keep those businesses, I would not be the woman that I am today. And that very tombstone would probably just still say entrepreneur. And that's not enough for me. It's not enough for God, which is why he radically shifted my life. But I will be transparent in the financial piece. Yeah. I mean, to have that, what seemed to be security, though it was falsified security, right? It was what really identified me at that time. Yeah. And I share actually in my book, there was this first like networking event that I went with my husband after I had no longer had those titles or those businesses under my name. And I remember talking specifically to guys, and we're in a room full of women right now, so you guys will really get this, where they would ask me what I did. And at this season, I was a stay-at-home mom. And it's the best, hardest, most enduring, challenging, and kudos to all stay-at-home moms, a title you could ever have. But upon saying that, you would immediately see the lens, the eyes of the guys kind of glass over and start looking over your shoulder to like, who else can I go talk to? Essentially, she has nothing here for me. I don't relate to that. Like, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom. And that hurt. That was hard. But as I said at the beginning, I really was conscientious of the titles that I was carrying, because that didn't matter. And it was the most profound. Think about how proud Moses's mom, his birth mom, was. Think about Joshua's mom. You think about all these incredible leaders and you're like, wow, God really put his hand on them. Like, Jesus himself wouldn't be here without an amazing stay-at-home mom. Okay. So I give massive credit to those people. The financial thing is constantly something I have to lay down before the Lord. And he knows this about me. And I'll be transparent. I've been asked multiple times through this business and my nonprofit not to take a penny. Okay. That is the most challenging thing that I wrestle with God with on a semi-daily basis, at least weekly, I would say. Wow. Sometimes I'm in a high and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, look at all of the manna. Look at everything you provided. Look at the team that I pay for every single month, right? And I still to this day have not taken a dollar from my business. And it's a book I'm writing, so you'll get the understandings of how and why and all of that. But it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but it makes sense to me and Jesus, and that's what matters.
Wow. I'm loving how, as we're doing these interviews, we're hearing about the cost of following Jesus. There's a lot of like freedom that comes when you lay aside the world's way of doing things and you like crack yourself open to be a messenger, right? There's a lot of healing and beautiful things and impact and da-da-da-da that happens. But every time we get to these backstage interviews,
I love that.
There's a cost.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to talk about it. I was just reading in Revelation this morning about, why am I even bringing this up? But just this idea, these martyrs, they're singing, it says singing the song of Moses and the song of Lamb, and the Lamb. And they're, one of the lines they say is like, I'm going to paraphrase, but like, praise God for all of his righteous acts. And I'm like, you were just persecuted. And the song you're singing is of how righteous God is. And it like rocked me. And so this thing that doesn't make sense to people, for you to on this side be like, and I see it as the righteousness of God. And I see it at like, woo, for us to have, like that requires some secret place times.
And it's definitely not easy. I love that you're sharing that part of it. And I've never shared that ever publicly, other than like close confidants. So God just wanted me to here. And, you know, it's difficult on my husband, who is also an entrepreneur. Is we don't have, you know, a budget that comes in. We choose not to pay health insurance and we self-pay everything because we position our health so as a priority in our home that we've never, knock on wood, had any issues. We were just doing this calculation yesterday, actually, that had we paid for health insurance as two single home or single entrepreneurs two entrepreneurs in a single home, we would have paid out on average every year about $24,000. Okay. And now, obviously, we're two decades almost in, we would probably have about $144,000 just in health insurance that we would have paid out. We did the calculations roughly yesterday and we've paid out maybe $25,000. So there are systems that are put into place to prevent you from being able to listen to the Lord. And people think we're nuts, right? People who know us well are like, you guys tithe differently than everybody else. You show up to life totally differently than everyone else. You guys are always traveling, but you are tight on money. Why is that your priority, right? We as a family know what God has told us, and we don't look to other people to give us the solution to our tight problems. We look to God. And again, manna is just enough. It's not an abundance. It's not an overflow. But if you look to my life via social media, you'd be like, man, she's got everything. We have these conversations frequently in our home of like, how are we going to pay for this? Where is this going to come from? How's this going to work? And it does every single time, even in the upgrade seasons of what's transpiring in our life right now.
Okay. Wow. We did not know this.
No, I mean, one does. I've never talked about health insurance. I've never talked about any of this. So I'm so grateful.
I'm honored. It springboards into two questions. One is how do we do that? How do we authentically, honestly show the highlights while like, how do you ever feel like you're living a double life? Like, does it ever feel like I'm showing this and it's not, how do you come to terms with like, this is what's shown on social media. And I know you're going to already talk about, you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But what, cause there are people who have things that you're doing this out of obedience to the Lord and what he's uniquely put on your family, but it can feel a little messy even between you and the Lord. Now there's other things people are dealing with that are messy, that are just consequences of brokenness, right? And it's like, how do I show up? How do I have a vibrant place for people to come and connect with me on social media, to get catalyzed, to be activated, all these things when there's all this other stuff going on?
I would say that the trial is not my identity.
Mm.
So Job's trial, a lot of people talk about Job's trials and they say, oh, poor Job. But never did Job say poor Job, right? He might have had moments where he's like, God, why is this happening? but he always honored God. And so I want to be that person. I want to say, yeah, I'm walking through fire today, but the color, the vibrancy, the joy, the fruit of the Lord is still my strength. And so while I am very honest about things being hard, especially when I have clients come in, I'm like, let me just tell you what this takes, right? And because I don't want people to ever feel like, oh, your social media just grew. I'm like, no, I've been on my social media consistently for 7 years, right? Like, that's not how that works. And I still don't even have a lot of followers. There's TikTokers who are like, oh, overnight, I got this sensation. And that's not how God interacts with me. And that's not how God's going to interact with you. Because guess what? That person still has to post every single day if they want to maintain what God has given them. And so your trial doesn't define you. And putting that out for other people, that's literally breaking yokes. It's literally the power of your testimony in the blood of the Lamb, right? We know this to be true. So if my not business card, business card, ultimately shares about infidelity in my marriage, and yet I'm a publisher or a business coach or all of these other things, does that make me less of those things because I walked through fire in the past? No, it makes me the Daniel story. I walked through fire and I don't smell like it. Watch this, right? So that's the transformative nature that Christ is my shield. Christ is my protection. He goes before me into situations and he'll do the same for you. But if you're doing it inauthentically, if you're doing it and you don't feel good about the presentation of how you're showing up for people, you will feel that tension and God will reveal something to you in that tension. And so I don't want that. I already experienced that part of my life where he was like, hey, you did it wrong. Here's all the consequences. Let's clean it up together, right? I always call myself, of all the titles that I have, I always tell everyone, I'm like, just call me a janitor. Like literally, because that's literally how I feel constantly. I'm constantly cleaning up my mess, other people's messes, my house's mess, like all of these things. But at the end of the day, God sees me sweeping. He sees me scrubbing the toilet. And he's like, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what it takes. The least of these are going to enter heaven.
Wow. Such a good perspective on it. And I love this idea of like keep the mess in its spot. Like, don't let it now become your identity, you were saying. Like, it exists, but just don't give it more authority than it
has.
That's
it. Oh my gosh, Melissa, let me tell you this because it's so necessary. If anybody is like a desired messenger, which I think we're all messengers in some capacity. You could be an artist and you're a messenger. If you ever want to write a book, I literally say this about writing a book because some people are like, well, what do I share? What do I not share? What if I put this person's name in there? Should I not mention this part of my story? Sometimes the Lord is going to tell you don't. Like, keep that is not necessary. But other times he, like my story, he's like, you're going to tell the raw truth. This is going to be a hard truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And when I did that, I didn't know that the labor pains connected to birthing a book like that were going to be so difficult. But I also didn't know that I no longer had to carry, just like a birthing situation, I no longer had to carry that, you know, not 12 pound, that'd be crazy for me, 7 or 8 pound baby anymore, because now my shame, you can see it behind me, sits on a shelf. And so I birthed out all of this stuff, and it took me laborious years, 3 years to write that particular book. Most of my other books I can pop out in a year. This one, no. And I now, when it ever comes up or someone mentions something or I'm in a thing that triggers me, I'm like, oh, nope, I already faced that fire. It's over there. And I can literally point people to it. You know how, like politicians and stuff, they're like, oh, we were digging up and so-and-so did this. My biggest thing, if I ever got to talk to one of those politicians, I'd be like, you should just publish your story before you run for office and then use that as your platform.
Here's right? The dirt.
That's it. Like, yeah. And no one can hold that over me anyway. It doesn't matter. And they can pretend like it matters, but it just doesn't.
That's so good, Tara, because there's a bunch of women who are building brands and they know God is calling them to a movement, but there's this like, but I can't, because if I do, then I can't. It's that tension right there. And you're like, get it all out.
Just stop.
Put it all out.
Yeah. Well, and there's that tension is either fear of success or fear of failure. It's the same. People will use a different language. I'm going to maybe step on some toes here, but revelation that Lord has been giving me over and over the last year and a half, which is also a part of one of my next books, but I keynote on it often, is this idea of limiting beliefs. You know, people, huge people like Tony Robbins are speaking to limiting beliefs every single day. And the Lord told me years ago that I was going to help stand on top of the self-help industry, and we're going to claim it, reclaim it for Christ. Because self-help and identity, it's critical. You do need to know who you are. You do have to have atomic habits, and all of these things are a part of it. But Christ has been so shoved out of that conversation of limiting beliefs. And guess what a limiting belief is? When you raise your hand to a limiting belief, you are allowing some messy part of yourself. Maybe I'm unworthy is what you're putting out there. Well, unworthiness has a root. And the root is generally a lie that I am hopeful is only given, not by other people in your life, but a root that has been given by the Satan himself, the enemy, who is the liar, the killer, the destroyer of all hopes, dreams, and identities. And that lie is generally premised in, and I have never had somebody present to me otherwise, premised in sin of that particular self. Okay. So the lie, I'll give you an example. The lie of fear of success or fear of failure is generally rooted in the sin of pride. The lie of I'm not worthy could be because that person is not pretty or feels overweight or something else. We'll use weight as the example. The sin is actually gluttony, right? Because they're, or sloth, perhaps they're not moving. And so as I've been processing this with the Lord, and this limiting belief conversation is just skyrocketing and continuing, God keeps reminding me, but you know the truth, but you know the truth. And so guess what? My role as a messenger has really revealed itself in the last couple of, I would say year, by doing something called Pedal and Preach through my podcast. The Lord's like, you're a John the Baptist, Tamara. So my job is to literally say, repent, the kingdom of God is here. It's here. Not near, it's here. And repentance comes out of changing your mind, shifting away from the sin that your life is muddied in. And so it goes back to righteousness. It goes back to holiness. It goes back to a lifestyle of obedience and discipline. It goes back to Job, who stops looking at his self and just points to God. And so that's what my life, that's what my business, that's what my heart is premised on with everything that I do, is to bring people in, allow them to change their ways, and to catalyze themselves into kingdom expansion, because God will do that. It's not an if, it's a when. God will expand you, expand your territory, expand your tent pegs, give you more of a prosperous life. But first you got to deal with your mess.
So good. And I'm like,
I really hope I get this recording. I can't believe I'm saying all this out loud. Like, this is so good. This is all God, y'all.
We're just going to pull it all out of
time. Jeez.
So good. I'm like, oh my word. No wonder, like, unless you get to the root, what you're saying is a sin, is a, like, you're never going to really be able to pull it out, because there's evidence that, no, that's true. Your limiting belief is actually true because it's rooted in sin.
I like, you know, I've broken through the board of my limiting belief, like literally like broken boards. And I was doing it that. That'd be awesome. My son is a jiu-jitsu player. He's amazing. Awesome. Number two in the world right now. Actually at a conference, I broke a board that I had written through, like, what are my limiting beliefs? Because that was the activity. It was an amazing activity. It was an incredible keynote. Yeah. That night, I was keynoting the next day. That night, the Lord wrecked me in my dreams and was like, this is the message. Because every single person was talking about limiting beliefs. And I was like, oh, but these are my friends. I don't want to get up there and say, like, hey, y'all's messages kind of sucked. They only told a portion of the truth. Even though they're all, like, faith-filled, spirit-led, love them all. And I had to. And it was the hardest keynote I've ever shared and the most impactful. And I literally am, I just praise God afterwards, because I didn't have a line of people to take pictures with me. I didn't have a standing ovation. I didn't have all these huge smiles or energetic people that were giving me back all of their, like, leaned in energy like they usually do. They were literally, like, had their arms crossed and looked mad. They were, like, leaning back, and they just, like, no feedback from the audience. And I am not used to that. I'm like energy all over. Let's play, dance, get up. Let's do this activity. Oh man. And it wasn't until a week later that the floodgates opened of affirmations and revelations that people had, because it sucked. They didn't want to hear it. So John the Baptist told the thing that nobody wanted to hear, and he did it wildly and he did it boldly and he proclaimed Christ. And so, yeah, my profile might look fun and shiny, but I got truth to come on the other side of it.
But just the level of obedience, I just like want to take a moment to just honor you and your willingness to obey in on a stage, not even like, oh, I'm going to have this tough conversation with someone I don't want to have. I'm going to say it from a microphone, and all my friends who I love dearly are maybe going to feel some type of way about it. Never mind the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's who you are raising up and bringing into the marketplace, having their messages out. People who will not love their lives so much that they won't do exactly what the Lord is calling them to do. That's the thing here. That's what we're talking about here today. There's a zillion ways we could build a brand, create a nice life, love God, do these things. But the people this is for, the people he's calling to this, what Tamara's doing, what I'm doing, it is about that. Because this is who he's asking. Will you not love all this stuff so much that you will hear me and obey? Oh, man.
So good. It's Matthew 10. I read it this morning before another conversation, and literally you just recited it. But it's this knowledge that he is going to ask you to do something great, and it's going to be grandiose, and the vision of it is going to look magnificent. Imagine Billy Graham when he's like on his knees being like, oh my gosh, I'm about to speak to the nations. There's going to be stadiums filled. Do you think he didn't go through the fire? Do you think he didn't go through trials and tribulations? You don't think he had to lay his whole life down to do what he did? That's one example of many, many, many martyrs that you're speaking to connected to Revelation. And so I'll do it all again. I would do it. I'm going to have to, because I've not done. he's just getting started with me. And I'm grateful for people like you who are willing to blaze a trail alongside us, and also to know that it's not finished. He's finished, but it's not finished.
It's so good. Okay. I just have two fun questions.
Let's go. After we did all that, you guys loosen up. It's okay. It's okay. I love you. He loves you. And you're capable.
Well, this is it. You're doing it with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't send you out like, good luck out there.
Yeah. No.
Where do you get all your fun outfits from? If you're like balling on a budget.
I love this. Okay, this is great. First, I love Upcycle. Last year, I did No Buy New Challenge. And so I was literally not allowed to buy anything brand new. I only could go to Upcycle shops. So all of my stuff that you saw on stage, everything looked fun and sparkly and fresh. It was to me, but it was used. And then I also use a subscription. So it's a $35 a month Haverdash subscription. And I get 12 up to 12 pieces a month when I play it correctly and mail it back in the right timing. And so I never am wearing the same thing in any of my content, but it's not mine. So it's all upcycled.
And I love that you're rocking the pink and the orange today. Yes. Was it planned?
What?
Was it planned? Did you look at the landing
page? No, I went to, okay, so you can't see it right. Well, let me see if I can show it to you. This little area right over there, you see that?
Oh,
that is not only my fashion line, our hat line and our jacket line, that jackets haven't come out yet. But it's all of my fun spots. So I just wear like a blank blazer. And then before I jump on, cause I've got three more interviews after you today, I just switch it up.
Bless your heart. That's amazing. I love it.
Makes it fun for me. I love fashion.
Yes. There's a way to plan and have your fun. Okay. Last question. You have so much B-roll.
I know. I have a social media agency that was working for me that I am no longer working with because it was too much. They couldn't comprehend what was going on. They couldn't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a great thing, but I can tell. What's your question connected to it?
I want wanted to know, how do we create because I something I feel for the women of God as they're bringing out their voice, there's something about documenting, there's something about behind the scenes.
Yes.
That's really important, not just the polished stuff. And there's many ways you can do this, but just thinking specifically about B-roll, how do we create B-roll? I can already feel like I know what you're going to say. How do we create B-roll without feeling like it's consuming or taking away from our actual life? Where it's like, oh, I have to get this. Oh, I have to get this.
Well, I just recorded 3 new videos while just being on here with you. So plan ahead. Be prepared, press play. A lot of people just forget to press play, right? And then they're like, shoot, that would have been such good B-roll, right? And it's like, oh, so I've got another camera set up and then you'll see it on my social feed. So that's one way, press play and be prepared to have the plan to press play. And then another thing is use your kids. Yeah, I said it, just use your kids. Literally, whenever you're doing something, be like, hey, can you take a video of mom? Hey, will you jump in here and just like go around the house today and take video of everyone? And then I just use that. I just use that content because I am literally projecting a life that is connected to family dynamics and having a safe home and developing little young entrepreneurs. And so why not? Right. So I have an extra phone. That's also a really great handy thing because I can't give them my phone because I'm usually working with it. So we have an extra phone that's like their gaming phone. Anyway, they're too little to have phones, but that's the one that they play when we travel. And so that's their documentation phone when we're doing other stuff.
That's so simple and genius. And I never
they have so much fun. They have so much fun. Hey, do this, try this, right? Let me get this angle. And like all of their cute little angles actually end up being really fun and funky and not anything anyone's teaching on social media.
I love how holistic it is. Oh man, Tamara, you've just like, you've brought us so much juice today, so much meat, so much, just a full spread. I'm so grateful.
I'm so glad. I hope that you guys are nice and full and also eager for more.
Yes. You guys go follow Tamara. We'll have all her stuff so that you can just connect with her and be a part of what she's doing, sending messengers out there to create movements. I know that that's what you're hungry for, and Tamara's doing it all the time. So
thank you so much, Melissa. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and this is going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.